Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. Coming to you from my office at home, and just finished service last night. So a quick update. Our governor has allowed us to go to the next tier, which means that we get to go back to church at 25% capacity. And so tonight we had service in the church with 25% capacity, and tried to increase the social distancing. We were able to have worship, which was good, and so I invite you to come out for that on Wednesday nights. For the time being, it's going to be at church for as long as we can. Now, if infection rates go up and hospitalizations go up and death rates go up, then we will be lowered a tier and we'll go back to not being able to meet at the church at all, and we'll be meeting on Wednesdays in my backyard. So for now, we're going to be meeting at the church on Wednesdays, home fellowships on Sundays, and hopefully the next sort of freedom we'll enjoy is going from 25% to 50%, which we're going to stay there for quite some time. It could probably be up to a year. So with all that said, I know that there's confusion because, we got to be flexible. We don't know, from week to week where we're going to be. So it's really important to make sure that the church has your email address and that you check your email. That's how we communicate primarily. It's too difficult to do texts, mass texts. It's too difficult to text everybody individually. It's easy to do a mass email, and you get announcements and updates and things of that nature. And so hopefully, if you know that you're already on the church email, that's great. We will continue to update you. If you're not, please call the church and speak with Paula, and she will take care of that. So tonight, I want to talk about the seventh day. So the concept of God resting has been the source of great debate amongst Christians throughout the years, obviously. This question, does God really rest, and does the Sabbath day rest apply to believers? In other words, is it for me? And what activities can be practiced on the Sabbath? And so those are things that, that all those little gaps have been filled in over the years by people that have tried to understand what God meant by resting on the seventh day. So without further ado, we're going to go to our text and remember why we're here this morning. We are here, or this evening. We are here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And that's you, and that's why you're doing what you're doing. So tonight, we're in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Boy, that's an understatement. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning, Lord, and we ask that you would open our eyes to see the things that we cannot see. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of observations. Number one, all creation was complete. There was no further creation beyond this point. Everything that concerned the earth was created. Everything that concerned the heavens was created. However, the earth and the way that God set it up was constantly recreating itself. The land was still shaping and forming. Obviously, we have places where volcanoes are still active, and so that land was still shaping. The elements adding and taking away from the landscape, and the animals reproducing, all of that is recreation that goes on throughout time. And so, yes, his work of creation was done, and then nature took it from there and was recreating. So the two key words here are finished and rested. So when God finished the work, he completed it. It was done. There was nothing beyond that that he was going to do with respect to creation. And when he rested, it's more meaning he stopped, right? Not necessarily rested. So the two key pronouncements that God gives on the seventh day, which he does not do on the other days, is God blessed the seventh day. And the second one was he called it holy. So he blessed it and he set it apart, consecrated it, and called it holy. And so the term there was evening and there was morning the seventh day is obviously missing from this text. And there is a reason for that, right? So the seventh day was not given that final completion that days 1 through 6 were given. So going deeper, I want to talk about the origin of rest. So the origin of rest here obviously is in Genesis. And from that, we get the commandment that God gave that we are to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. That was given to the Hebrews. And the Sabbath is the original Hebrew word for our English word. Shabbat is the Hebrew word. Sabbath is the English word. It comes from this root word, shin biet tav, which means to cease, to end, and to rest. So when God, when he stopped his work and he rested, it you know, God doesn't need to rest, obviously. And I've always struggled with that. Even when I was young in my faith, I didn't understand what that meant. But it simply means that God stopped his work, right? He stopped it. And he didn't need to rest. God doesn't have the ability to be tired like we do. So he stopped. The word that we have here it's linked to the seventh day of creation, and we know that that's where this whole thing comes from. So the historical meaning behind Shabbat. Shabbat is the most important holy day in the Jewish calendar, and it's kept every week, unlike other ones that are kept annually. This is kept every week, and God put a great emphasis on the Sabbath. He referenced it in Scripture numerous times. In Exodus 20, he said, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days ye shall labor and do your work, and on the seventh day you rest." So the Sabbath was important to God. So important that he posed the death penalty to anybody that refused to observe it. So that's sort of the history and the background. And the focus of the Sabbath, there's two main things that govern the Sabbath. Number one was to remember, and the second one was to observe. And so it's a commemoration of God's 6-day creation of the universe, obviously. And the people that are the Hebrews that were let out of Egyptian captivity in Deuteronomy 5, those are the things that God wanted to us to remember. It's much like what Jesus said when he said, look, you know, whenever you get together, I want you to break bread. I want you to have the bread and the cup or communion and remember what I did, right? Remember the work that I accomplished for you. So Shabbat or Sabbath is a time to stop working, but work ceases so that we can devote ourselves to, you know, to prayer and to spiritual aspects of life. And that's an important thing for the Hebrew faith. So Jewish law prohibits doing any work from that particular day. Any activities that contribute to personal profit or gain are forbidden. And if you have the rabbinical traditional law, it lists 39 categories of acts that are forbidden on the Sabbath. And it is way overboard, right? They take this to an extreme. You can't push the button on an elevator. It's that extreme. So what about the Sabbath for Christians? I mean, that's a big question that I get a lot, actually. And, you know, many wonder why Christians do not observe the Sabbath in the similar fashion as the Jews do, since God put such a strong emphasis on it in the Old Testament. But, you know, as Christians, we've debated this issue over years, and the scripture settles it, you know, pretty good, I think, when it says, you know, in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul said, one man regards one day above another, and another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. So I think that this really sort of puts that to bed. This verse does not prohibit the practice of Sabbath, nor does it really encourage it. It leaves it to the individual within our conscience to make a decision as to how we're going to honor that. So whether or not you're a Christian, whether or not as a Christian you feel compelled to observe the Sabbath, it should be done in faith as unto the Lord, according to Romans chapter 14, verse 8. Observance of the Sabbath, right, is not caused for a division amongst believers. Colossians says in chapter 2, verse 16, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. In other words, we're not to judge each other. Everybody has freedom here. The word Sabbath day refers to the Jewish holiday, including the seventh day of the week, which is the Shabbat. So the main point, you know, for the Christian is that we are no longer under the requirements of the law, yet we are under the law of grace, and God's grace is now written on our hearts, and we are a new creation. And in that, we need to have, people need to be free to make this decision as to how they want to apply this. So in summary, the freedom we have now through faith in Jesus Christ permits us to take a rest and to worship the Lord on any day that we wish to worship. As long as we are not judging our brothers in the matter or using this observance of a particular day to earn righteousness to secure salvation. That's already been done, right? To be sure, the observance of the Sabbath can be honoring to God. It can be beneficial for us, his kids, but it's not a requirement for those who follow Christ, right? So number one in sort of the takeaway here is Jesus is our rest, right? The element that the Sabbath day rest that God instituted, you know, was sort of a foreshadowing to the complete work that Jesus was going to do. He blessed it, he sanctified it, and he made it holy, right? In him, we are found complete, and, you know, we don't have the labors of self-effort anymore because he alone is holy and righteous. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we can cease from our spiritual labor and our rest in him, not just one day a week, but always, right? We are one of the reasons why this open-ended seventh day, where God did not close it like he did the other ones, is because we are entering his rest even today, and we will be fully entered into his rest after the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign, when we come back to the earth and experience a new heaven on earth, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. So I ask you this. I know in our Bible study tonight, we got into discussions about the people that were really doing a good job of finding time in their schedule to take a rest, right? It must be important because God did it. And if God did it as an example to us, then, and he, you know, obviously he instituted with the Jewish faith, and then God wanted to communicate to us as Christians that yes, it was important, but I give you the freedom to figure it out. I give you the grace to figure out how you're going to get your rest in me, how you're going to get rest for your body. And I don't think it's wise to work 7 days a week, nor do I think it's wise to take one full day devoted to God the way that the Hebrew faith does and not even push an elevator button. So you got to fall somewhere in between those two things. And the reality is that for the most part, I think that there's more people in our particular fellowship, including your pastor, who don't do this well, right? Don't rest well. And there's a lot of reasons why, right? And, you know, I think that the hardest thing on people is that they feel, this came out of our discussion tonight, was they just feel guilty when they rest. They, especially those that are overachievers, those that, you know, are really working hard, they just feel a sense of, I could be doing more kind of thing. And I totally understand that. However, we have this obligation, I guess, from the Lord that we get historically in Genesis and see it in the Jewish faith, that we have to take time to take care of ourselves. And I think that if this day seven has anything to say to you, it's that, you know, God did all this tremendous work and then he decided to stop and rest. And he was so important that he gave that command to the Hebrews that they were to rest and they were to connect with him. And I think he has something to say about it even today, even though we have all this freedom. I think that God still wants us to take that rest, and even if it's a half a day or, whenever, it doesn't need to be a specific day of the week. We're not to be legalistic in these matters, but we need to honor the concept, and that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. If you're listening online and you have not yet given your life to the Lord, you can do so very easily. All you need to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved, the Bible says. I encourage you to do that. And if you've made that your prayer, please let the church know. Call us on the line you see there listed in our webpage, and let us know about the decision you made so that we may rejoice with you. If you listen regularly and are part of the church, he has shown you, man and woman, that's you and me, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we walk humbly and with our Lord. And it's important, right? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. I'm sorry, I forgot the mercy part. Those things are important. Those activities that we do are important. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because it feeds us as to how to do that. We are His kids. And when God says, I have shown you what is good and what I require of you, justly, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. I pray that you would do that tonight. And I pray you have a blessed day. God bless.